in on him. Now there was a woman who'd been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She'd endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She'd heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus looked around, all around, to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." This is the word of the Lord. Where does it hurt? Have you ever been afraid to ask that question? Afraid to ask a friend or a family member because you're not sure you can stand to hear the answer? Or maybe you didn't ask the question because your friend has hidden the hurt and the pain so deep and so well for so long. When Black Panther actor Chad Boseman died last year at age 43 after a four-year battle with colon cancer, the news was shocking. Chadwick Boseman was famous for playing characters like Jackie Robinson, Thurgood Marshall, and James Brown, but he kept his personal life private. His illness, including his surgeries and his chemotherapy treatments, was a closely held secret. He worked around it until he couldn't any longer. Few people knew to ask Boseman, "Where does it hurt?" So I wonder if friends and family of the woman in Mark's story knew to ask that question. For 12 years, she was sick, suffering from hemorrhages, the text says. Bleeding, to put it plainly. She was bleeding for 12 years, which was complicated by the Levitical purity laws. The book of Leviticus in the Hebrew Bible has a whole set of laws dictating what makes a person pure or impure. And those laws are for men and women, so guys, you are not off the hook. We are not sure how closely followed those laws were in Jesus' day. But at least legally, this woman's medical issue, her bleeding, would have made her ritually impure, unable to participate in religious activities. Touching her or sharing space with her would have made friends and family impure also, leaving her socially isolated and probably incredibly lonely. And all of this is in addition to feeling sick for 12 years. Now, presumably, she came from money, because the story says that she consulted many physicians and spent all that she had seeking treatment. But rather than helping her, all the doctors and all the treatments impoverished her. They made things worse. Her physical suffering increased rather than decreased. So by the time we meet her in this story, she was desperate. Absolutely desperate. And maybe that's why she did what she did. That's why she dared to illicitly seek out Jesus that day in the crowd. Let's take a minute to acknowledge that there's a lot about this story that is challenging for a 21st century reader. The story is laden with first century patriarchy. To begin with, what's the woman's name? How come no one thought to record her name? And why does her illness make her unclean? All of us have bodies created by God who called all of creation good. So why is her bleeding somehow shameful and impure? She's sick, not unclean, not impure, and bleeding is not shameful. And let's talk about the healing. Why does she have to sneak up to touch Jesus, to touch his cloak and hope that he won't notice? Because, of course, that's what she did. She screwed up her courage, and she approached him quietly in the midst of the crowd. She touched the back of his clothes, maybe hoping that he wouldn't notice. And, of course, it was Jesus, and he did notice. The text says this: immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples thought he was nuts. We're in a big crowd. It could have been anyone. But Jesus insisted, and the woman finally gave in and admitted what she'd done. But that's the point at which she lost whatever courage she had. Mark's gospel says, "But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth." In fear and in trembling, she fell down and told him the whole truth. A couple of years ago, our church book group read Kate Bowler's book called Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. Did anybody here read that book? It's a great book. Kate Bowler's life was going really well. She was a professor at Duke Divinity School, happily married. She just had her first child when she was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer at age 35. As you can imagine, it was devastating. And it led her to realize that up until her diagnosis, she believed that all the goodness in her life reflected God's blessing, that she had somehow earned and deserved all that goodness. Well, that belief system fell apart when she got sick. If the goodness in her life was God's blessing, then what was the illness? God's curse? God's disapproval for something she had done wrong? And is that how a loving God treats us? Bowler's book is great. I highly recommend it to you. But she has continued her work. She has a podcast. She's written another new book. And the other day, she posted a video on her Facebook page. The video is called Life Isn't Fair. And in it, she says this: "I used to think that I picked my life. I know that's as unbelievably arrogant as it sounds, but I came by it honestly. I thought that I was going to be the kind of person who could pick my job, pick the number of kids that I have, pick my economic status, pick my friends, pick my Starbucks drink, and so on and so on. And then all the things that happened to me came around. Then I was the person with cancer. Then I was the person who was probably going to die that year. Then I was the person who had no control over my money because all of it was going to be eaten up by a healthcare system that bankrupts people for suffering in this country. And then I realized I wasn't a chooser. I was just really lucky. You don't really know you're lucky until you're not anymore. When the bad thing happens to you, you realize that I don't want to live in a world where I deserve what I get, or that anyone else's suffering means that I get to pull out the tally card and add it up for them. Very little in life will be fair. So much of it will be beautiful and meaningful, but almost nothing will be because we picked it." It seems to me that the bleeding woman in Mark's gospel would immediately understand what Kate Bowler was trying to say. Living with her illness for 12 years was unfair. She did not deserve that illness. She did not pick it. But in the end, she got to see and experience something beautiful and meaningful in her encounter with Jesus. The whole premise of the woman's plan was to remain anonymous. to gently touch the back of Jesus' garment, to hopefully grab some of his healing power, and then to fade away quietly into the background. Jesus could not let that happen because his ministry was built on connection, connecting with the people he met, connecting with their hurts and pains. He could not let her go without speaking to her. After listening to her story, Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Listen to that again. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Jesus calls her daughter. We don't know this woman's social status. We don't know what her family life was like. We don't know if she had living parents, brothers and sisters, children, maybe a husband. We don't know if she had friends. We can guess that her illness probably left her isolated and lonely. And so when Jesus calls her daughter, it is a compassionate, loving relationship that he offers to her. And finally, Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Go in peace, go in shalom, go in wholeness. Jesus offers healing and wholeness for her body, mind, and spirit, far more than she expected or even hoped for when she reached out to touch Jesus' clothes. I would guess that everyone here today knows someone living with a chronic or serious illness, and maybe it's even you. Maybe you live with illness and pain so that you might understand the woman's desperation, and maybe you understand her determination to seek Jesus in the crowd and to touch him, hoping and praying for a miracle. The miracles in the Gospels are mysterious. Why does Jesus heal this person and not another? Why not offer healing to the entire village or the whole city or even the country? Why no miracles today? Or so very few miracles today? To the best of our knowledge, Jesus' miracles were an inbreaking of the kingdom of God. They were a little glimpse of resurrection grace. They offered a beautiful second chance at life, but the miracles were not the final answer. At some later date, the woman Jesus healed grew old, and she fell sick again, and at some point she died. And that is life, the full circle of life, as painful and as sad as it is. In the meantime, she had a chance to live the beautiful and meaningful life that Kate Bowler described. She had a connection with Jesus that was deep and true, and that is the connection that Jesus invites us into as well. It takes courage to ask the question, where does it hurt? It takes courage to listen to the answer and then to ask, how can I help? And that is our call. That is our call as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen.